Go ahead and open up to Matthew 15 then. We're going to talk about the highest order of reality tonight. Again, this is from the face-to-face documents. They're at the website. They're free. You just go there. They're not audio files. These are written files. Just go to www.garycarpenter.org. On the homepage, scroll down near the bottom, right in the center, you'll see face-to-face. You double-click on that, and then it'll bring up, you'll see a list of all the documents, and you can click on each one and print them out. And the Lord, during this time period where He's having me do these Wednesday night services in the 8:30s, it seems like what He's got in mind is teaching mainly from those documents, because, again, thank God for the born-again trail. Have we learned some things going down that trail or not? And the born-again trail is really primarily about that new nature, what really happened to you when you got born again, because hey, I was, you know, they taught me in the Baptist church when I was young, and I'm not just picking on them, I could pick on others, it's just the one I know most about. I mean, they taught the cross, I got saved there, and, you know, I wore out my jeans rededicating every Sunday, you know, and just like a lot of you did. And the thing of it is, though, they would one week teach on, you gotta get saved, you gotta get saved. And so then you get saved, and the very next week they just tell you, well, you're still just an old sinner, you're only saved by grace now. And they'd quote all those verses, you know, out of they're in the New Testament, but Paul is talking about the unregenerated man when he would say, it's quoting from Jeremiah and other places, you know, the heart is desperately wicked, who can know it, and all of those things. So, you know, we just didn't know hardly what to believe, you know. Well, I felt bad before I went. I listened to them, I felt worse. So, and they gave the altar call, I went, I'm not even sure if I'm saved. I got to go down again, see. Well, thank God, the born-again trail is intended to get rid of that mindset forever. Amen. You're not just an old sinner saved by grace. Now, we'll grant you this. You were. Because everybody born on the planet, everybody, all of them without exception, is born with that sin nature. I mean, that sin nature came into Adam and Eve is the mother of all living, but it's really through Adam's line. It's through the male. That law of sin and death is passed down horizontally every generation. There wasn't one. That's what the New Testament's talking about, quoting from the Old Testament prophet. There's not one righteous. No, not one. That's why we could not get a Savior from a spiritually dead gene pool. Muhammad cannot save you. Buddha cannot save you. They all have that sin nature. God had to reseed the planet with life. So he wrapped His Son in human flesh, and life was once more sent into the earth to repopulate this planet, to take the dead spirits and quicken them to life again. Glory to God. That's the born-again trail. And we're all maturing in those things. We're coming into those understandings. But then the thing of it is, even if you come to full maturity, like we see Jesus Himself, when He comes up to the River Jordan to be baptized by John, one thing's for sure, He didn't come to have His sins washed away. What's going on there? You know, even John didn't understand. John went, I need to be baptized by you. You don't need to be baptized by me. And the answer is kind of nebulous. You know, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. You don't put a new cloth and an old garment. It doesn't tell you a whole lot. But praying in the Holy Ghost, I saw what was going on there. Even why the Father spoke from heaven. Because Jesus, when He went to be baptized by John, He wasn't going under the water to have His sins washed away. What He was saying, He was making a visual vow before the Father. He says, I know why I'm here. I know that I'm going to die as the spotless Lamb of God for the sins of the whole world. And Father, when John lays me down in this water, symbolically, that is my vow to You. I am going to fulfill the assignment You gave me. But Father, when John raises me back up, that's the symbol of my faith. You will not leave my soul in hell. You will quicken me to new life again. And in the Father's sight, because He looks on the heart, just like He was looking on Abraham's heart that day when Abraham raised his knife to plunge it into the heart of Isaac. God looked in the heart and saw it was done. He said, now I know. Hold but stay thy hand. Don't harm the child. God accepted it as a finished, completed act, even though Abraham did not really have to kill Isaac. The same way, when he saw Jesus perform this vow, he looked on the heart and he said, "It is done." And as far as the gavel, for all practical purposes, came down in heaven at that moment and said, legally, now not temporally yet until Jesus died on the cross, but legally in heaven, the Father says, "I accept this as a finished fact. Adam is done. Today, this is my son. This is Adam. Today, this." He receives now the authority that I first gave the original Adam. "And this is my son in whom I'm well pleased." And that's why the Holy Ghost came on him then, to exercise dominion on his spirit. Everything that Jesus would say, the Holy Spirit would do. So we see from there, Jesus, when he walked up, there was no more maturing of spirit to be done. He was the full-blown, mature Son of the living God before he went under the water, but he had never yet done any miracles, because miracles are not what the new nature does. The new nature is in there to cause us to walk separate from the world, sanctified, holy. Instead of God giving us an external law written in stones, he has given us an internal law written on fleshly tables of the heart. We have that new nature, and it's to keep us, as we mature and learn to yield ourselves under the prompt. How many of you know you can override that new nature? I've overridden it at the Krispy Kreme store. And worse places. You can still override it. But the more that we learn to let it have dominion over us, that's then as we're coming into really what Romans 8:14 is talking about. Those that are led by the Spirit of God should be little less. Those that learn to yield to that new nature. Let's say it this way. Those that learn to let that new nature dominate your life, control you, separate you from the world, put that old flesh down again. Those are the mature children of God, the sons of God. It's the same word they use at bar mitzvah. God is saying, if you learn to let that new nature rule, now you've become an heir. You become a son of mature age enough to participate with me in this family business. And the family business is souls. Amen? But now, if we're going to do miracles, like Jesus said, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do," in the same way that he had to co-labor with the Holy Ghost, we have to learn to co-labor with the Holy Ghost. Have y'all ever heard of a place where you might, a church where you might go and learn a few things about establishing a rapport and a communion with the Holy Spirit? Oh, the Family Prayer Center. Pastor Dave Roberson. Thank God. That's why we're here, to not only learn how to mature that new nature on the inside so that we do walk according to the new nature, but now we're coming into that season of revival. You're going to have to also learn how to co-labor and agree with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Whew. Review. That was pretty quick. Well, I'm not going to repeat very much from the last couple of times. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit said to me, and this one's in the works of the Father, he said, Jesus considers the only valid triumph of the enemy is that he has been pretty successful at separating believers from their communion and fellowship with the Holy Ghost. He's caused believers, through doctrine down through the... It's like even the church I grew up in. It's like the devil has fought praying in other tongues harder than he has the cross. I mean, you can get saved in that church where I grew up. I mean, I've seen, really, and it's not just religion either. I mean, I've seen old hard-drinking, gambling guys that gamble away their paycheck, drink it all away every week, womanize and run around. I've seen them old boys get saved now at the altar, and they become good family men, settle down, quit that drinking, be a pillar of the community and a pillar of the church. Don't tell me they didn't get saved. You can't change a leopard's spots by your own effort. God has to do that. See, I know they got saved, but that same church that'll lead you to the cross will kick you out if you ever speak in other tongues and tell you tongues is of the devil. And so the Holy Spirit, I've quoted it several times, but he said the only real valid triumph from from Jesus' point of view, that the devil has accomplished is separating. I'll just read that part of it. He said, Christ Jesus does not consider wars and pestilence and famine and disease and divisions and factions and greed and avarice and witchcraft and murders and the like to be the finest work of the enemy. He sees all of these things as being byproducts of the enemy's only valid triumph. All of these things are byproducts of the communication being severed between the believer and the mind of Christ. There is no defeat. Boy, now get this. If you don't get any other sentence during all of these, get this one. There is no defeat where the mind of Christ is known and acted upon, says the Spirit of grace. There is no defeat. Now, that's not to say it won't look like defeat sometimes in the eyes of the world. When Paul and Silas were in the stocks having been beaten, and they're in the stocks at midnight, you know, in Philippi, doesn't that look like defeat? Was it?
No.
God was in the business of establishing the Philippian church right there. That church would be the financial foundation for Paul's ministry for the next 15 years. Wasn't defeat. Glory to God. You can't judge by how the world judges. See? Hallelujah. But where the mind, he says, but by severing, let me read that sentence again. There is no defeat where the mind of Christ is known and acted upon. But by severing believers from fellowship and communion with the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the mind of Christ is seldom known. If you ever, those of you that are already in full-time ministry and those of you that will be, I'm telling you ahead of time, the number one question you're going to get, now it may be phrased a lot of different ways, but the bottom line is, can you help me receive wisdom on what to do? Well, I don't know what to do. Even though I don't know what God wants me to do. Even though Jesus plainly told us, I will not leave you as orphans. If I'm going to confess and be honest with you, I can't tell you the number of times I felt like an orphan. Didn't know what to do. And I'm hallelujah, thank God, those times are getting fewer and fewer all the time. Because I'm learning, we're all reestablishing that fellowship and that communion with the Holy Ghost. Because I'm telling you right now, I know that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Lord never wants you to go without an answer from heaven. And I mean not ever. And I mean about the smallest details of life, if you want it. He intends for you to have 100% access to the mind of Christ. If you was walking side by side with Jesus on those dusty trails back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you reckon if you turned and asked Jesus a question about anything, you reckon he'd answer you? And if you didn't understand the answer, you reckon you could ask him for an explanation? Do you think he wants us walking in less? No, he wants us having that same thing now. The only difference is we can all have it. See, then you had to be where he was physically in the earth. But now in this dispensation, he's in heaven. But we can all have access to his mind by the Holy Ghost. And I mean to that same practical degree. Hallelujah. Getting ahead of myself a little. That's where he wants us to get to. All right? He says, by severing believers from fellowship and communion with the Comforter, the mind of Christ is seldom known. And where the mind of Christ is not known, the will of the Father cannot be performed. Every victory obtained by the enemy stems from a single root. And that root being broken fellowship and lack of communion with the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, who has been sent by the Father and the Son. All tragedy, all defeat, all terror, all division, all works of death stem from this single root, says the Spirit of grace. So, what has been the result? What's the end result of all that? What's been the result of the enemy's triumph by separating believers from the counsel of the Comforter? You ready? The work of man is substituted for the work of the Father. Did you get that? We call them programs. We call them works. They're not, thank God that, we are commanded to feed the hungry, clothe the naked. We're supposed to do those things. I often think about, and again, this is still really review, but we are going to get into some new things now tonight. But we've got to make this so, see, because, we're so used to what man can do. We are so used to what man can do. It's admirable that churches will take up collections and form committees and whatever to like purchase hearing aids for deaf people. Isn't that a good thing to do? That's a good thing to do, and you're not going to lose your reward for it. It's a good thing that people will give and they'll train these CNI dogs and give them, you know, to the blind. That's a good thing. But see, Muslims can do that. Buddhists can do that. They do that. It's not wrong to do those things. But I just submit to you, God has a different plan for the deaf than hearing aids. And God has a higher plan for the blind than seeing eye dogs. The works of the Father. So what's happened is, the works of man, like hearing aids, seeing eye dogs, they've been substituted for the works of the Father. Did I tell you all to turn to Matthew 15? Good. Hallelujah. We're still reviewing. Now, Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you so long and you don't know who I am? Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Then he said at another place, he said, the works that I do, he says, it's not me. The Son of Himself can do nothing. It is the Father in me. He does the works. So he's saying, you want to see the Father? Watch me. Watch what I do. And you'll see the Father. All right, let's watch him then. Let's watch him in Matthew 15. Glory to God. Now, to me, if you want to see how church should be, then you ought to see how the head of the church runs his own services. Don't you think? I mean, say, well, what is church? Well, we could study all these different denominations. That's not. Let's not do that. No, let's see how the head of the church runs the services. And let's take that for our pattern. All right, Matthew 15, verse 29. Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him. Now this reminds me of the vision that Dave has told us about he's had several times. Where he's seen the ambulances coming in off of Highway 75 out there. And that's even before we had the off-ramp now. Now we got the off-ramp for him to come better. But he would see the ambulances and people bringing the lame, the halt, the blind, bringing them on stretchers. Picture this. Picture what... And by the way, if you read on just... You know, I kept telling y'all it was thousands and I was using examples. If you just read further in the chapter, it tells you how big this crowd was. And this... You can come right on down. Look at here. Let's see. Yeah, there we go. Look at verse 38. They that... Because here he multiplied the loaves and fishes and fed them. And it says, they that did eat were 4,000 men besides women and children. So this is not a small church service. This is 4,000 men plus women plus children, maybe 8 to 12,000 people on this hillside out here. And watch them come now. They're coming. They don't have ambulances. They don't have cars. They don't have pickups. So how are they bringing them? How are they bringing the halt? Look here, it says, verse 30, great multitudes, we know 8 to 12,000 came, having with them those that were lame. Can you see that? Two people maybe got a lame person in between. They didn't have wheelchairs, I don't think. Maybe on stretchers or something. Maybe somebody on their back, literally carrying them. Uncle Fred, you know. Aunt Susie's, you know, bringing their relatives. The blind. The dumb, that those that couldn't speak. How about, boy, this one. How about the maimed? I'm so glad that word's in this. The maimed. I've done my homework. That is the same word used when he says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. So he's talking about people here. What about those that have no legs? How are they getting there? Can you see them coming? carrying them there. You know, nowadays, if somebody's missing an arm and they're dressed in a suit or something, you might not have, you'd have a hard time maybe even telling it if you didn't know them, because we have those plastic arms and things, you know. But back then, it's pretty obvious if you didn't have an arm, didn't have a leg, but here they come. All right? The blind, the dumb, the maimed, and many others. Now, what all's in there? Muscular dystrophy, cerebral palsy, maybe polio back then, God only knows what all. And they cast them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them. That's what Jesus calls church. Let's take that for a pattern. Let's press towards that mark. And notice the next verse where it talks about our city. Insomuch that Tulsa wondered. Isn't that, it doesn't read that way in yours? Doesn't Dave's? Look at him shaking his head. Insomuch that the multitude wondered. See, it's not just Tulsa. I've been in enough prison services where there's lots of Muslims. I already know you're not going to win them with a word debate. Now, they know their Quran probably better than you know your Bible. And by the time you, I don't care, 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, you're both going to go away mad and nobody's going to go away changed. But you take that same old boy who brings his blind mother or his maimed father to your service where you're preaching Jesus, and his mother regains her sight, or her daddy gets a new leg, his daddy, that old boy is a candidate to be born again. And his whole house. Now that's revival. And that's where we're headed. This is the works of the Father. When we really establish our communication, our walk with you and the Holy Ghost. Now, we're talking again, mature sons. We're not talking about the gifts. We've taught on that many times. Listen, God can almost use a monkey in the gifts. Now, don't. He almost can now. If He can speak through a donkey, okay? If He can speak, you know, human intellect, I don't know what, probably Hebrew. If He can speak Hebrew through a donkey, now he can just about anoint a monkey with the gifts, okay? And what Paul said to the Corinthian church, you bottle sucking, split, divided, competitive bunch, yet you come behind in no gift. And he teaches on all the gifts so they'll know what's going on in 1 Corinthians 12. And then right at the end of it, he says, now you need to covet the gifts. It's good. But let me show you a more excellent way. A more excellent way than what? Staying a baby just being used in the gifts? Big, powerful ministries are not going to like that revelation. You know that. But God is what He's really after now is what we would call, I don't know what to call it, maybe a maturity revival? A revival where, you know, just because He uses you in the gifts, you're not going to run off with the secretary or the money? Male or female? You know? Which is, how many scandals have come on the body of Christ, you know? No, He's wanting some of those to grow up in that same image, you know, 2 Corinthians 3:18, here we go again. He's putting a lot of things together. As we behold the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that same image, not something diminished. Same image. That's from glory to glory. It's not overnight. It's progressive. But even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Say it out loud. Same image. Well, you get transformed into that same image. You're not even doing anything for your own glory anymore. You're not going to be getting people out of wheelchairs 1 minute and selling prophecies the next. Trying to molest the choir leader. Get conformed to the image of Christ. He can trust you with some resident anointing. That's what Jesus operated in. He didn't walk up and say, well, I hope the gifts of healing is working in me today. I hope it is. He'd walk up and He'd offer you a menu. He'd He'd come to serve. Didn't He say, I've come to serve? Like a waiter, He'd come and He'd offer you. He'd say, what is it you'd have me do for you? What do you need from my Father? Glory to God. We're headed for some good things, people. But not if we keep settling for the works of man as a substitute for the works of the Father. All right, now we're going into some new things, okay? This one is called the highest order of reality. Again, it's one of the face-to-face teachings at the website. I'm going to read some of it. I'm going to skip over some of it. And we're going to get some examples. We started off. He says, the highest order of reality is when the Spirit of the living God is loosed in the name of Jesus Christ to reorder the material realm according to the original intent and purpose of the will of the Father. Now, just before I go any further, we just left Matthew 15. What do we see there? The works of the Father taking these, not one of these was the way God originally intended. God did not originally intend for men to be lame or blind or dumb or maimed or any of these many other things. And we know that because Jesus said, I'm not doing anything of myself. It's the Father in me doing the works. Well, the Father is restoring to man the way He originally intended for man to be. He gave you eyes to see with. Gave you ears to hear with. That's His plan. Hallelujah. But religion has done a good job of messing the church up. Jesus gets it real simple. You want to know what the Father's like? You want to see Him? Look at me. But now religion, no. God, He took away your sight so you could learn what humility is. He did not. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus has a gospel for you, blind person. Blind? You don't have to be blind anymore. You can see it right here. Jesus said, you want to see the Father? Look at me. He even said, and if you don't believe me, at least believe me for the work's sake. Because I'm not doing this. My Father is. That'll tell you right there what His plan for your life is. He plans for you to see, to hear, to have, to be able to walk. That's how God made man. And He has sent His Spirit and anointed these new creatures with dominion to restore this fallen planet back to the original purpose of the Father. And that can't be done without the Holy Ghost. The best plans of man cannot create new legs. Have you got that part figured out? And I'm no, you know, again, Forrest Gump. I'm not a real smart man, but I know what love is. Well, I'm not a real smart man either, but I know that men cannot put on new legs. Now, not flesh and blood ones. They can put on plastic ones and do pretty good, you know. But it takes the moving of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. That molecule changer. It takes God the Holy Ghost to do the works of the Father. And that's why we have got to get where we co-labor with Him. And stop being trained by religion. But be trained by the Spirit of the living God. That's why Jesus said, He is the only teacher qualified. What school are you going to go to? Now, and again, I don't want... Where are we going to go to learn the physics of another world? Here, 5 + 2 = 7. But the physics of that world takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And feeds 5,000. With many baskets left over. How many would it have fed? But there's only one teacher from that world that's been sent to us. And His name is Dave. No, it's the Holy Ghost. Dave is trying to get us in touch with that teacher. Hallelujah. Sometimes I think He's from another world, but anyway. True ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ are those whose thinking is elevated above the ways of man. Now again, the ways of man, hearing aids, seeing eye dogs. That's the ways of man. They have entered into that realm of the Spirit to flow with the mind of Christ. Excuse me. They have entered into that realm of the Spirit to flow with the mind of the Spirit to reorder all things by the Spirit. Man, I am not smart enough to write that kind of stuff. Of those who are ministering in the name of Jesus Christ upon the earth, I have few who understand these things, says the Spirit of grace. Understand that no true ministry has been achieved until I am loosed. That's the Holy Ghost talking. No true ministry has been achieved until I am loosed, either by your faith or by the faith of the people, to manifest the will of the Father which is in the mind of Jesus Christ. In the most simple terms, the ministry of Jesus Christ in the flesh was to minister the will of the Father to the people by the Spirit of the living God, who is the hand of the Father outstretched. All of his teaching and all of his preaching was directed toward this end result, that their faith be increased to receive the will of the Father by the moving of the Spirit. This is still the ministry of Jesus Christ through all the ministers in human flesh whom he calls. Teaching alone, which does not direct the people toward faith, that they may receive the will of the Father by the hand of the Spirit in their lives, is void of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Even when teaching those things that are milk, the end result is to eventually point the people to their Father and cause them to understand that it is by the Father's Spirit, through the name of Jesus Christ, that they may receive all that the Father has for them. Teaching that does not direct the people onto that path is teaching which is void of the mind of Christ. He gave me the best definition of milk I've ever heard. You know, I'd like to give you meat. He said, milk is that which has been Milk is that which has been pre-digested by the teachers. That's all it is. Milk will always be necessary for the body. A little simpler, like a little lower than that. Milk, really, in one sense, anytime you're receiving revelation to another human, you couldn't be receiving it if that other human hadn't already pre-digested it. But in that form, it's milk. But if you go spend time with the Holy Ghost, he's going to slap a big T-bone right down in front of you. And the reason I'm saying this, I'm not just kidding, I'm not trying to make an example. For years, Sue or anybody that knows me can tell you, I am a voracious student. When I need to know something, I study those Rhema tapes and Kenneth Hagin tapes in the early years. I could preach them as well as he could now. I mean, I really could. And I knew faith as far as teaching it. I could teach it, dissect it, backwards, forwards. I knew all the scriptures, you know. Trouble is, I couldn't live by it very well. I could teach it, but I had a hard time living by it. You know why? Because really what I had was milk. Nearly every, I had it, I had the revelation of it, but I got all of it through other human teachers. And it's not that we didn't have some results. We did. We got some results. But the very first day, my very first 10-hour shift praying in other tongues in those trucks, the very first vision that I ever had, the Holy Ghost, and I'm not going to teach it again tonight. You, most of you know it already, the guy on the horizon. The Holy Ghost taught me faith in a way that I had never understood it before. And from that day till now, I've never been the same man again. See, milk is when you're receiving it pre-digested through some other human. But it's meat. That same revelation can be meat to you if you get it directly from the Holy Ghost yourself. Now, it's one thing for me to... this is why those guys who tried to cast out the devil in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, that worked real good for them. They're trying to out there minister on somebody else's revelation. It don't work. He says, now, Jesus I know. Paul I know. Who are you? And they had good intentions. Good intentions aren't good enough. You need to take a big drink of milk every time you come to a service. Then you need to take those scriptures, go home, meditate them, pray in tongues till it becomes meat to you. Glory to God. They can't beat it out of you with rifle butts when you get it directly from the Holy Ghost. They can't. It'll be yours forever. Hallelujah. So again, milk is that which has been pre-digested by the teachers. And milk will always be necessary for the body. There will always be the young to be instructed. Every time I read that, I think, I close my eyes because I'm thinking, the young to be instructed. Now, how old was I when I came here? Let's see. Now, I was in my 40s. And I'd already been a spirit-filled Christian for 12 years. And you talk about somebody who was only ready for milk? Young to be instructed. Then that's not chronological age. But true ministers of the gospel, little by little, teach and train the flock to sit and receive from the Father themselves. By the ministry of the Spirit, as they come into ever closer union with the mind of Christ. The present order of reality which is imposed upon the people. Now notice, listen to this. I know it's different listening to me read all the time. Don't get bored. Don't let your mind drift now. Listen. This will change your life if you get this. The present order of reality which is imposed upon the people by the God of this world, not your Heavenly Father. This present order of reality which is imposed upon the people by the God of this world is certainly not the will nor the mind of the Father which is in heaven. For this purpose He sent His Son to bring to nothing the rule and reign of Him who usurps, and to make the kingdom of light available to all who would choose the Lamb as their King. True ministry brings forth the will of the Father to reorder this present reality, to restore it to the highest order of reality, which is the mind of Christ and the will of the Father that He originally intended and purposed for man. Nothing is impossible for those who can believe this, says the Spirit of grace. Now let's get an example, okay? Let's keep that thinking. Go to Matthew 17. I know you've been taught this eloquently by Pastor over and over again, especially when we come into the fasting season, but I want you to look at it in the light of the reality, the highest order of reality, the will of the Father being involved here, right? We're not going to emphasize so much the fasting, although that's part of it. But we want to see what this highest order of reality is. So Matthew 17, starting in verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to Him a certain man, kneeling down to Him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the water, and often, into the fire, and often into the water. Now get this. I brought him to thy church. One time the Holy Spirit literally changed the words in front of my eyes so I'd get the revelation of it. I brought him. If the church of Jesus are not the Lord's disciples, who is? We are. They're supposed to be able to bring them here. Isn't that right? I brought them to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now, if we stopped right there, if that was the end of the story and he just went on to something else, then there might be justification for all of those unbelieving messages I've heard over the years. Where, Brother Gary, it's just not always God's will to heal everybody. I mean, after all these disciples, you can read in the previous chapters, they've already been casting out devils. They've already been sent by Jesus to heal the sick. And they've done it. So if this father brings his lunatics, we don't know if it's epilepsy or what, but if he brings this serious case to them and they pray, and if the father doesn't heal them, then doesn't that prove to you, Brother Gary, that it's just not always the father's will to heal them? Now see, if it ended right there, there might be some justification for that. Thank God it doesn't end there. Jesus knows the will of the Father. He walks up, He is not a happy camper. Can you watch these words? Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And how long shall I suffer you? bring him hither to me. Now, not all disease is caused by devils, but some of them are. This one was. Notice, Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, if we could go on. Now, the point is this, the works of the Father. I have a lesson called My Father's Standard. I was raised by O.R. Carpenter. He invented a concrete product called antique terrazzo. The man has an eighth grade education, but he holds 5 patents. Okay, he's a smart man. He invented this, not only the product, he invented he patented the process, he patented the tools that we used to do it with. Nobody else could do it just like O.R. There was a lot of imitators. Of course, I grew up in that family business, and Dad had really high standards. You, growing up there, now employees came and went. How many of you know I couldn't? I learned it, buddy. I mean, I learned it well. Here's one of my dad's mottos. I'm going to clean it up for you. But my dad's a good Baptist man. Took good care of me all the days of my life. Taught me a lot of good things. But here's one of the things. My father's standard, he had a certain quality. And he knew what worked and what didn't work. He'd been at this a long time. And I'd do something, change something. He'd say, "Boy, there is a right way to do things. There might be a wrong way to do things. And there is the O.R. Carpenter way to do things. And around here, by God, you'll do it the O.R. Carpenter way." "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." The thing of it is, when I did it his way, I got his results. Well, later on, Dad retired, and I wound up having that business myself. But people, the standard had been set, and people knew what antique terrazzo was supposed to look like. Now, to really get it to look right, I'm telling you, it was hard work. That's why most people couldn't do it. It's really, plus there were some other things that you just had to know. So we'd run in several crews, and I'm going around between crew to crew. Every now and then, it just wouldn't be up to my father's standard. I go, "No, that's not done yet. Let's work some more on this." And we'd work on it. There was a few times, not very many, thank God, but there was a few times, couldn't bring it up to my father's standard. So we're going to wreck that out and do it again for free. Because I'll tell you one thing, I'm not walking away from here with work that is not up to my father's standard. I have a name to protect. I have a name, a standard. When they brought that boy, and they said, "We brought him to your disciples." Let's say it this way. We brought him to the men you trained. You ever think about it like that? Your disciples. And they said they couldn't cure him. See, something, when I read that one time, I said, he looked at that and he goes, "This is not up to my father's standard. This boy still being in this condition is not the will of my father. You boys have some more training yet to be accomplished. You bring that boy here to me, and I'll show you my father's standard." He rebuked that devil, but when he did it in the power of the Holy Ghost. And that devil instantly came out of that boy, and he was free. That's called the works of the Father. I think Jesus would be just as upset. Even I'm not going to pick on anybody else. I'm going to pick on our church. But there's still yet too many times when they wheelchair them in and wheelchair them out. Hey, what should we do? Throw up our hands and give up and just become another First Church? Start ordering big chandeliers now? Or press towards the mark? We need more training. Until we present those people back to the world and say, "Now this, healed and whole," say, "This is our Father's standard. This is the works of the Father. Where the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the maimed are made whole." Glory to God. We're not going to do that without learning how to co-labor with the Holy Ghost. This is not your show. It's not my show. This is not my ministry. It's not your ministry. Your life doesn't even belong to you anymore. This is the life of another being lived through us. His name is Jesus. Yeah. That's why King James, we are delivered all way to death. Not with an S on it, all way to death. All the way to death. Why? That the life of Christ may be made manifest in our mortal body. Hallelujah. Glory to God, that's good stuff, isn't it? Hallelujah. How do you like we are running up and down them steps? I had to pass up on my trip to Korea last year. Devil almost put me in a wheelchair. Thank God for a believing wife. Says, you better start doing your own teaching, boy. She didn't say it quite like that. I'm still thinking about O.R., boy. That's what he always... Boy. If you don't change what you're saying... Because that pain had come on me slowly for years, and it was at the point I couldn't even hardly walk. I had to do one service sitting in a chair. I couldn't even stand up to do it. Much less go to Korea. Hey, over there, I do 5 services a day. Okay? 5 services a day. Glory to God. And that's about half what I did in South Africa. So they're being nice. Hallelujah. I hope that tape's not going to Korea, is it? Anyway. They'll schedule more services. She says, if you don't change what you're saying... I didn't even realize how my mouth had begun to line up with my pain. The confession teacher was beginning to call things that are as though they are. See, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil's going to put you in a wheelchair and steal the whole rest of your ministry. Boy, she was right. I was about one step away from a wheelchair. Man, I started getting my confession out. I started praying in the Spirit. I started warring against that thing. And because that was not up to my Father's standard either. Year later, going to Korea. Hallelujah. And that's just the beginning. Hallelujah. This stuff works. Glory to God. Well, go to Matthew 12. Y'all getting anything out of this? Can you... Man, we are quickly leaving the gravitational pull of religion. We're going to escape into orbit. Hallelujah. We're going to live in that the realm of the Spirit where we belong, where our home is. You're not normal. What's wrong with you? What do you think you are? Just a human? The life that's on the inside of you did not originate on this planet. We are an invader from another world, come to rescue a lost and dying species. Actually, a lost and dead species. We're trying to reach them and get them quickened to new life. They're already dead. That's why Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Man. And he wasn't being cruel when he said it. Matthew 12, look at verse 28. Now you saw there in Matthew 17 when he cast, in order to cure that boy... He had to cast the devil out of him. Again, I say, sickness is not always a devil, although sickness is always the product of the fall. And sickness is never the will of your Father. You better get that straight. If you don't get it straight, you won't fight it when it comes. You better fight it. It'll kill you. Anyway, Matthew 12, 28 here. Now look at this. He says, just like when he cast the devil out of that epileptic boy, that's what we just looked at, and the boy was cured. But now watch how he does that. He says, let's get context here. They had accused him of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. So he says, verse 26, and if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, he's talking about by the power of the Holy Ghost, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Jesus is saying it again. I'm not casting that devil out. I'm the agent of authority, been sent on my Father's business. But when I speak, there is an agent of power. Why did they scream when those devils come out? Because somebody's making them go. They're not coming out of their own accord. You got to be kidding. The Holy Ghost is, ow, pulling them out of there. They don't want to go. Ow. I learned that from Norville years ago. Ow. Norville says, I've been falsely accused. I don't believe there's a devil under every bush. I believe there's 2 or 3 devils under every bush. I'll tell you what's coming. I'll tell you exactly what's coming. Way back there in Genesis 1, the secret's in Genesis 1. God said, light. First it tells us that the earth was dark and without form, and darkness covered the face of the deep. But it also says that the Holy Spirit was moving on the face of the waters. And that word moving in the Hebrew language carries the connotation of He was incubating. Like a mother hen over the eggs. He was incubating. The Holy Ghost is God. Here He is. Being God, He is all-knowing. So He knows that the Father wants light. He has to know it because He's God. And He has all ability to produce light. And He's there where light needs to be. But all He's doing is hovering, brooding over the face of the deep, incubating, waiting. What in the world is He waiting for? He knows the Father wants light. See, God the Father conceives everything. The Holy Ghost is the one that performs really everything. He's the molecule changer. But that Holy Spirit, He's waiting on something. What is He waiting on? He is waiting on the words of authority. He had to hear, light be, before light was. But when He heard the spoken word, whoosh, all of that power went into manifestation to bring forth the will of the Father. And we see it all down through chapter 1. In the King James it says, let there be this and let there be that. Who is God talking to? Every time you see, and God said, who is that actually saying that? That's the second member of the Godhead, the pre-incarnate Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. God the Father is conceiving everything. Jesus knows the will of the Father. He speaks everything. And then the Holy Ghost, He performs everything. But then they come down finally to man. Man is created out of the dust of the earth. Just so you'll know, it was the second member of the Godhead who picked up that dead corpse, breathed the life of the Son into that clay, and man became a living soul. Made, that spirit that went on the inside of him came from the inside of the Word. The second man. The second member of the Godhead, I meant to say right there. But then God's still not through, because He's still speaking. And He says, and let them have dominion. Now, who is He talking to? Who is hearing those words? The same Holy Spirit that's been hearing and performing all down through chapter 1. And now He hears, oh, they are to have dominion over all the works of Your hands. In other words, when Adam speaks, You want me to move just like I've been moving when You've been speaking? Well, we see that same relationship with the second man, the last Adam, thousands of years later. Here's Jesus plainly saying, it's not me doing the works. When I cast out devils, I'm doing it by that same Spirit. It's the Spirit of the God now. When I speak, He moves. And the Holy Spirit says, unless I move, from heaven's point of view, no real ministry has even yet taken place. That doesn't mean you can't do nice things. But He's talking about the works of the Father that take this present reality and restore it back to the will of the Father, which is the highest form of reality. Did y'all get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray. Give Him a hand. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Praise God forever. Now we're all on a journey. One of the things that set me free to continue learning, was something Dave said years ago now. He was talking, I don't even remember now where we were. I don't remember. But I remember the words. He was talking about, we still have more to learn, Gary. Gary, if that wasn't true, and I kind of looked at him, you know. He said, well, if that wasn't true, we'd already be in the revival. And I went, yay, amen. What can you say about that? Well, was Jesus through with those disciples when they couldn't cast that devil out? No, he wasn't through with them. He's just going, your training ain't near over, boys. And he started explaining to them. How they're going, why? How come it didn't happen when we prayed? He said, you still got stuff on the inside of you that you don't even know is in there. You got unbelief in you that you don't even recognize. Dave has taught us all that. You don't even understand it. This kind of unbelief, you can only deal with it through prayer and fasting. But if you do learn how to deal with it, you'll not only say to this mountain, be you cast into the sea and it'll obey you, but nothing, everyone say nothing, shall be impossible unto you. One of the things we do at Calling in the Lost, we're going to finish it with this. It's good for you. We're going to talk to your own soul. Did you know David did that? Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me. Let's talk to our soul. Put your hand right on your brain, right on your forehead here. Soul, I command you. Believe this. All things are possible.
All things are possible.
All things are possible.
Tulsa will see
the works of the Father
and will turn to God
in Jesus' name.
Now
shout about it. Hallelujah! Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, all he's really doing during these teaching times is just laying this foundation. These tapes are going to go all over the world. This one will be worldwide before sunset tomorrow, the way the Lord's having us do this. And sometimes it takes a while to get to where you can fully obey His instructions. He told us years ago, He said, if you preach a message in the morning, I want it heard in Zimbabwe that night. Now, He wasn't just talking about Zimbabwe. To Oklahoma, boy, that means everywhere, right? You know, I thought it was in Africa. I wasn't sure. But you know, we're doing that now. Those morning services, you know, we normally have them on the internet before nightfall. This one will be on the internet before nightfall tomorrow. What a day we're coming into. Dave, what was it, a year or two ago, you went to Cleveland or somewhere. And while he was gone, I did the Sunday service. And so like Monday or Tuesday, somebody's walking in with a CD. And they're in Cleveland. Was it Cleveland, Tennessee? And they're walking in with a CD. And they're going, he's going, what you got there? He said, Sunday service. What? You mean one of them from a recent series that I did? No, this is one that Gary did while you've been here. You mean Sunday? You mean this is Sunday service?
Yesterday?
Yes, it was yesterday? Yeah, already on the internet, already downloaded, already into a CD. Hallelujah. Isn't that what a day to be alive? Amen? Well, what is your part of this? How many of you think we've got a few things to learn about co-laboring with the Holy Ghost? I highly recommend a little more time in prayer. Little more time meditating the Word. He's got to get us past natural thinking. He's got to get us into that training room of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to go ahead and ask Sue, if Daisy doesn't mind. I'm going to ask Sue to dismiss us tonight. And then if you came for prayer, I'm going to ask you to come put your toes on the green line. We got this wonderful arrangement here. We pray. God answers. It's an amazing thing. Amen. Go ahead and bless
Father, we're just so thankful for all that you've done tonight. I thank you that it bears fruit in the people's lives, every one of us, Father. I thank you that the lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see, the dead are even raised here in the prayer center because you are head of the church, Jesus, and you are head of the prayer center. I just thank you so much for all of your people, Father. You just keep working in us both to will and to do for your good pleasure and that work of faith with power. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.